very important to have your own vision. Yes, this is where you want to be, for sure. But opening your mind to others and listening to what others are doing and what is their stories and what's their failure really helps a lot to have the right people around you.
Hello, Elevated Entrepreneurs. Welcome to a fantastic episode of the Elevated Entrepreneur Podcast. Today, I'm talking to a lady who is a powerhouse when it comes to hospitality. Her name is Ghislaine, and she is the founder of a phenomenal business called Table & Beyond that services hotels, restaurants, cafes, and so much more. Ghislaine and I are talking about the art of hospitality and how business owners, especially new restaurant business owners, need to worry about and focus on the art of hospitality. Ghislaine and I also talk about how she decided to change careers because of one single trip, and I could not believe myself. So if you want to listen to this story and you want to hear how Ghislaine has grown her brand and how she got to change her careers, you must listen to this episode. As always, grab your headphones, grab yourself a cup of coffee. If you're going for a run, hit play and help me cue the music.
You're listening to the Elevated Entrepreneur Podcast, a podcast designed to help retailers, restaurateurs, and entrepreneurs simplify business operations and use modern technology to elevate their business. Here's your host, Darren Bhatia.
Welcome to the Elevated Entrepreneur Podcast. It is a pleasure having you here today.
Thank you. Thank you, Darren. Pleasure is mine, really, to be with you and our discussion.
Thank you. And today we're talking about the art of hospitality, and you and I connected maybe 2 months ago for an event where we met and we connected. And right away, when we spoke after the meeting, we had this passion for hospitality. And I really want to dive into that today and learn from you and share with our listeners all about hospitality. And I know you're the right person to talk to about it. But before we do that, I want you to introduce yourself. Please tell us what you do and how you started.
Oh, wow. Thank you very much. Thanks again for the opportunity and for giving importance to this beautiful topic, indeed. Because, you know, in the art of hospitality, it's not really only cornered to the hotels and restaurants. It's also the way how we receive people in our home. And I believe this is coming as well from our culture. I am actually originally born in Morocco, where the art of receiving is very important. So we used to spend a lot of time, apart from cooking, but also arranging the table and fixing the house. And this was I was really enjoying this time. And I have beautiful memories with my mom. And yeah, so after finishing the high school, I actually continued my passion and I studied hospitality. I went to Switzerland. I studied the hospitality management. And as soon as I was out of the university, there was a beautiful opportunity for me to come to Dubai and be part of an opening, a new hotel at that time. And that was in 2002. You know, at that time, Dubai was a very emerging city. So it was a dream for someone who just freshly graduated to come to such a vibrant and interesting city. So I moved to Dubai in the beginning and actually of 2002. I started my journey really in working in hospitality. And the life has gone on till I have actually moved to the sales, where I've started to work for other companies selling to hotels all kind of products. And this is where actually I've really dive in my passion, because it's related to, you know, making things beautiful, setting the bed, setting up table settings. And I opened my own company, Table & Beyond, since about 3 years now. And this is how I want to pass this passion to my clients and showing them the importance and not only the beauty of the elements, but to make them feel good and welcome.
Thank you, Ghislaine. I loved your background because I know you spent more than 20 years in hospitality, and I want to get into that in a bit. One thing that you said earlier in your introduction was hospitality is just not about restaurants and hotels. It's also about the hospitality that we extend in our homes. Yes. And that is such a true thing and such an amazing thing to think about. And because that is sort of the experience maybe we look as guests when we go to another restaurant, we look for that same level of warmth and hospitality.
Exactly. And it's true that it's not only in the restaurant business, but you need to feel welcome wherever you go as a customer. And that is, can be any showroom, you can go to a retail shop. There are different ways to make people feel comfortable. But here in the hotel, because we are sitting on a table, we are experiencing a longer time. So things around us have to make us more comfortable and relax to enhance our experience.
Yeah. Tell me a bit about Table & Beyond. So I know you started Table & Beyond in 2017, but tell us more about that.
So it's really starting from the table, really. I had, customers who had something really specific for their operation. I was working with suppliers who really wanted me to handle this market. And we've started really on accessorizing the table. So chinaware, glassware, cutlery, linen, etc. And since then, since we have started, we really expanded the business to cover almost all the area that a hotel or restaurants need. So for any new opening, for any operation, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's housekeeping, it's the rooms, we have the source of products, of suppliers that can really deliver good products as per the client's needs. And today we work with so many different clients. It's not only, the hospitality. We do a lot of private homes as well. People who in their home want to experience that comfort, the same when they go to a hotel. We work a lot with catering companies. So here our target market has expanded as well, along with our expansion of products. And
I want to ask you, Ghislaine, what made you start Table & Beyond? Because you had started with a hotel chain here. You then moved into sales. What made you start Table & Beyond?
Business. I had my first business at the age of 12, and wow. I really enjoyed this, to have my own business, to have my own bank account. I used to have clients. I used to make things myself, actually, back home, and selling them to my mother's family, to our family, to our friends, and then going to markets. I really like this achievement to go with someone to find their need, find their pain, answer to that. And then here we go. You make someone happy with the product that they really need. So for me, Table & Beyond, it's really an extension of this dream. It was always there. I always wanted to create something, a legacy behind, a brand behind me. And when I've started in hospitality, I really loved the industry. And I felt that I can even add more by me helping these clients to choose, because I love interior design. I love etiquette. I'm an etiquette person. Like, I would really spend a lot of time if somebody comes to my home to make everything perfect. But it's really just not about the aesthetic, but to think about everything in advance. Like, if I will have a guest staying at home and I need to prepare the guest room, then I would need them not to come with anything. You know, this has always been there. So for me, Table & Beyond is an extension of me being a business person since I was young and wanting to have a team around me. So supporting also people, helping a team. I open, let's say, doors for everyone and a good feeling for me. And then I'm helping my client to find exactly what they need.
And I want to ask you, you mentioned something very interesting there is the legacy. What do you think is Table & Beyond's legacy, or what will it be?
My dream is very clear. My vision is, I'm right now actually working on my own brand, which is going to have my own signature and my own designs. And moving forward, we want to have the brand in multiple locations and also touch on the retail. For me, when I say legacy, so my kids, when they come with me to office, they are always very happy to see what we're doing. And whenever we go to a restaurant and they see a plate, they say, oh, mama's business, it's plates and and chairs and tables. So they are interested. They are really looking even at opportunities, so which is great. So, so this is part of the legacy. Now, whether they will be in the business and they will continue, that's another question, because I believe that everyone should work in what they really love. But for me, to leave a company that is sustainable, that helps people, their careers as well, it's very rewarding.
I love that. And I love the idea of creating your own brand. I think that is something that will do so well, because just because you have the passion for that as well.
Exactly.
Have you thought of a name for that brand?
I do. I do have the name. I'm waiting for it to be confirmed that it's not been used. So I won't tell you the name now.
All right.
But we'll definitely keep you, in the lounge. But it's a nice brand. All it's going to be anyway registered in UAE. I believe in the country. I came to Dubai very young, and thanks to the city and the management of the country, it's opened my eyes and my vision to see much further than what I thought I can do. And it was very normal for me to say, okay, my brand is going to be registered, or my landmark is going to be registered in UAE. And yeah, and it's going to be to do a lot about UAE, by the way.
That's amazing. And so what that means is we need to have a second part to this chat in the near future, where you can come on and tell us all about that brand.
Anytime.
I want to ask you, I want to take you back in time. I know you studied hospitality in Switzerland. I wanted to get to know, what was that like? What drew you into hospitality? And what made you go to Switzerland to study hospitality?
Since I was young, I was studying so hard to become a doctor.
Really?
Yes. And it's coming from the fact that I want to help people. This is part of our core value. So I've been studying so hard to have the highest mark, you know, to be in the university. I've succeeded because, you know, I came out of my high school. My name was part of the 6 top people to be in the University of Casablanca for medicine. And my uncle, who is a doctor, he was so impressed and so happy that continuing, at least someone in the family will be also as well a doctor. I went to Switzerland. I was going for vacation. We've been going to Europe since young because a lot of my family members are there, my uncles, my aunt. So for us, traveling was very normal every year we're there, but this time was different. I was 17, and my aunt, who is almost like my godmother, she told me, well, Glenn, can you believe, you know, sitting and studying 7 years and you are outspoken person, you have business. Look at the business you have done since 12. You've been having this business and so on. Do you see yourself going through this? And I said, well, I don't see something else. I mean, interior design. And so she took me to the school. And when I went to the school, it waked me up completely. And I found myself, this is exactly the type of environment where I want to be, because it's hospitality. It regroups everything. You know, it's not a particular, very specific that you will study, giving you an understanding of how departments work. And then you then decide where you want to go. Rather than if I want to be a doctor, then I will just study medicine and that's it. I will not know anything else. So here I really like the fact that it's the first, the university, the school, the curriculum, and the fact that I have a whole view of so many things. You know, you go through so many departments, you go to housekeeping, you go to stewarding, receiving. So after finishing, completing the study, you almost can work anywhere. You don't have this, you know, that you are restricted.
Yeah, you're not restricted.
And that's, I was like, oh my God. I called my parents. I still remember my mom when I told her, I'm not coming back. And she was like, what are you talking about? September, you're starting university. And I said, well, no. All the family was trying to persuade me and say no and blah, blah. And I said, no, I moved. I had to work for 4 months to do like internship. So I worked in a high-end restaurant, a gastronomic restaurant in Basel. And from there, I started the university and here I am.
What an amazing journey. So you said bye-bye to being a doctor and you switched gears all because of one trip.
Yes, really. And of course, I was idolizing really my uncle, whom I respect so much. And till today, I tell him he has a very special place in my heart. So seeing him, you know, in his clinic, and back in our country, there was only this type of jobs. Either you can be an engineer, or you have to be an accountant, or you have to be a doctor. There was nothing in between. There was nothing for the creativity. And all my family around me, they are either doctor or in accounting or engineer. Nobody is into business. Like, there was no one around me to give me that kind of feel. It was just me being like that. So they wanted the normal job. I don't want to say that those jobs are not rewarding, but for me, you know, in hospitality, it's given me this broad training, this broad information. And then you can decide where you want to be. You want to be in F&B, you want to be in the rooms. There you have so many options to choose from.
This university is in Lausanne in Switzerland. I'm not going to be able to say the name because it's French, but how long did you study at this university?
I was there for 2.5 years because then we had also, you know, internship. I did my internship in Switzerland, but I could have also done it somewhere else. So I stayed in Switzerland almost 3.5 years.
And then you decided to move to Dubai.
Yes, I decided to move to Dubai. I always was very interested by Asia. I wanted to travel to Singapore, or it was really very interesting for me. But when I had this opportunity for a new opening, just coming out of the school, sounds no brainer, you know, it's a must. This is exactly what I wanted to be.
And I want to ask you, with all of that background in hospitality, when you started Table and Beyond, did you see what the need was? What was the need for you to start Table and Beyond at that time in 2017?
The missing was really people who understand the operation and the need of the client. But more the need of the client, actually the need of the customers. Because here, any person opening a hotel or restaurant, they want their customer to come back. And this is only thanks to the experience that they will give to this customer. And this is what I call the square meter, the little square meter. This is what matters. You know, you go inside a beautiful hotel, it has beautiful chandelier or marble. That makes difference for me? No. What will make a difference for me, when I sit on the chair, it's comfortable. The height of the table is good. The food is very well displayed and well cooked. These little details that the waiter will talk to me or in my room, for example, these whole little things, people are not thinking about it because they don't see the operation from a customer point of view. Most of other companies, they will just propose a brand or a product to save the initial investment. But me, my view is to actually make clients feel so good that they will come back.
Absolutely. Like you said, what can you do in that square meter to make?
Exactly.
And these are the invisible things. These are the things that you don't normally observe or see. And yet they make such a big difference.
Exactly. Yes. So for me, it was associating myself with brands who have the same belief and who can adapt, give special customization to clients. And today, you know, people are, everything is about Instagram and taking, you know, videos. So you are in a restaurant, you don't want to go to the neighbor and find the same thing. How do we solve that? So this whole, you know, thinking is what made me really realize that there is a need, a niche in the market. And then let me do Table and Beyond.
So I envision this, you walking into restaurants and hotels, you're like, that's not right. That's not right. This is not right. And I do that too. Because when I walk into a restaurant or a retail shop, my first thing is the POS, the inventory management. So I'm sure you must be doing that too.
Oh, yes. It's almost bad, but this is what it is. I always give constructive feedback. I know that people are sometimes in stress and I really value the real little things. When somebody remembers your name or when they see that you are struggling with something, they come for help. This has to be in harmony with their concept on what they want to achieve, but it's more about this human touch as well.
Absolutely. So I want to ask you, in your experience here now, it's in 2017, even before, what do you feel is missing in this market? When you go to restaurants, what is the one thing that you think every restaurateur can pick up and improve?
You know, really, whoever opens restaurant, they have to think, number one, who is their target market? Who are their clients? Because based on that, then they have to work on their offering. I'll give you one very simple example, actually. There is one restaurant, I won't tell the name. Normal, it's a Lebanese kind of sweet type of food. And we went one time, I took my kids after going to the beach. And believe me, now my kids, every weekend, they ask me to go there. It's a must to know that there will be a lot of families coming and they put an ice cream machine that you can see. And the kids go and they look at the ice cream. It's made. And then they put them this, chocolate and everything. And they are so happy. And this is so smart. At the beginning, even when we went like first time, we were not even charged because my kids were so small. So was, you know, it does not make sense. The ice cream was so small, but these small touches, it's made us like, okay, this is a must go weekly. I mean, this is also another market. Families, you go to a restaurant and you have kids, you won't be able to entertain your child. You cannot just, you won't be able to sit for 1-2 hours. Make a little corner with some toys or something. Now, of course, the situation with the pandemic is it's a bit changed. We have to be even more thinking of other options. But for example, a placemat where they can draw, for example. Or have some pencil. There are many restaurants, like they are really a family. It's part of the concept that it's a family restaurant. And you go there as a family and you are with a young, you know, kids, you won't be able to entertain them. So then why are you calling yourself as a family restaurant? So here is go back to basic. Really look at what's your target market? What kind of clients you want to attract? And then think about their pain and find the thing that will make them happy. So when they come, they'll be so happy that they will come back again.
Absolutely. You know, we learn this in as you go through your own businesses, we learn that we cannot be everything to everybody. And our businesses also cannot be everything to everybody.
Exactly. You know, I gave the example of family, but this is like, or pet, this is endless. Or for example, cigar, for example, like, you know, cigar bar or cigar, you go to a cigar bar, you don't find a proper cigar ashtray. Come on. You know, people are going there to enjoy a nice drink with their cigar, and they can, and I'm talking about, where is the importance? We put the importance to put a beautiful chandelier. That for me, I don't really, as a client, I don't see the value for this. Or this is for me the small, small little touch point that's going to make my experience memorable.
Absolutely. And not to try to do too many things at one time. If you are, like you said,
of course,
a cigar joint, then like you said, the small touches, have a good cigar ashtray, have a comfortable place to smoke a cigar, but not try to then be a family place at the same time.
Of
be
course.
A five-star. I mean, you know what I mean? Like you don't have, you can't be too many things.
No, the concept is clear from the beginning. That's the reason why they have all concept. When they open, they have a concept guide. And the target market has to be very clear. And this is, go back to basic, as you said, for any type of business. You're starting a business, number one is target market. Now, it does not mean that we will not evaluate and change our target market. But as far as we evaluate, then we have to also change our offering. We need to also adapt to our target market.
Innovate.
Yes.
Reassess every few years. Think that if you need to change, then you can change. But have that idea in mind that you need to reassess the situation every few years.
Exactly. Yes.
I want to ask you, when you started Table and Beyond, did you get to meet a lot of business owners who didn't know what their target market was?
Many. Many, surprisingly, really. Many friends, actually, starting the business and just trying here and there, here and there, here and there, wasting a lot of time. And here we have, you know, the ratio of 80 and 20%. 80% of your business come from 20%. So do you want to, 20% of the client. So do you want to spend all your time running behind people who are actually not going to value and not give you the value? No. As a business owner, we have a lot on our shoulders, for sure, to manage, to bring business. But at the end, the most important point actually is bringing the business. Because if you don't bring the business, then your company will not succeed. So here is to sit and think properly where you should be going to get that business from. Then after that, you have your team. You can segregate them depending on other markets or other clients. But most important is to be yourself behind the business. You, to sit behind, you know, the office and just admin, it does not work. You have to be out there. This is my message for everyone.
Absolutely. And when you get to see a client who comes to you, who's starting a new restaurant and they're selecting all of this great tableware, great chairs, do you actually ask them who their niche is and do they actually have an answer?
Some they do. We ask them, for example, what's the average check? What's the competitor? The chef has a lot to say as well in the type of food that he will be preparing. We also ask, like, what kind of restaurant is nearby? There is a differentiation point that has to be there. But I would say that about 60% of clients, they will not know in detail about this.
60%?
Yeah. Yes. Whom is going to come to your restaurant and why it is going to come? We need to understand that. Because then we can help you through the product and the seating and everything.
Because, like, as you said, if you know who you're serving, then you can start to shop for that target market.
This is where you see whether the concept has properly been worked. You know, it's not an easy thing to just open a restaurant and run it. A lot of people think it's easy. It's not. It's a really a science. And that's the reason why there are people who are specialized in building concepts, for example, in managing the operation. It's not a 1 + 1 = 2. No. It's not an engineering. No, it has a lot to do with psychology. Even, for example, the way how you write the menu, which, what's the way you're going to write it? What's the important meals would be in the middle? You know, the eye has a way to look. What are the important meals that you want to make more money in the sales? It's menu engineering by itself. It's a complete, you know, course to understand. So people are going to the venture of restaurant. They think, oh, okay, so food and, you know, I'm going to cook and have a good chef and that's it. No. Good chef, very important. Yes, location, very important. But the whole offering around it, the concept itself has to be properly built.
Yeah, you know, on a similar topic, what you're talking about, we also get a lot of customers who want the shiniest POS system, who want the iPad menu systems. And very similar to what you said, I also wanted to add that not every restaurant should have an iPad menu. Not every restaurant should have a quick serve POS. It all depends on, again, that target market, who you're serving, what kind of client you're expecting. That makes a big difference.
Of course, definitely.
I want to ask you, Ghislaine, what's the second thing that you see a lot of restaurateurs do wrong when they start a restaurant?
The employees. They bring the employee and they don't give them training. I know a restaurant to open and they hire their team a week before opening. It's not possible. You need to have trial and you need to make sure that everything works. You need to know that, you know, your team is properly trained. They have to taste all the menu so they can talk about it to clients when they come. Make sure that the trial run has to be properly done, because if this is not done properly and then you open, then people come and they're not happy, then they will not come back again. To bring in the team 1 month, 2 months in advance, to make them training, it could be that for him, he will look at the cost. But actually, in the long run and in the proper operational point of view, this is going to be the winner case, because you will have your proper team who know how to handle the situation and how to handle the operation. So this is from what, in my perspective, the second error I have seen. There are clients who come at the last minute. They want to do everything, like really, they will have 1 month before the opening. And they pressurize, ask for everything. And then my question is, do you have already your team? Can we come and see the place? No, no, everything is going to be, you know, in the next 2 weeks. I'm like, how? It's not possible.
Yes, because we tend to put ourselves in these imaginary boxes. Oh, my lease is starting, or my contract is about to expire, or whatever. You know, I have to get started. There is this urgency. And like you rightly said, you have to question that urgency and see if it's worth in the long run. And the other thing that I picked up that you said earlier, which is very true, 80% of your business comes from 20% of your customers, the Pareto rule. And definitely, a lot of restaurateurs, they focus on the new business. But if they can get the same customers to come back, which is obviously done by good hospitality, there is your money. That's your money pit, not the new business.
Because you want to retain the customers. And in my example that I give you about the restaurant, which is a must to go, the food is not amazing. Like, myself and my husband, we don't really, okay, the food is nice, but it's not something that somewhere where I want to go every week. But it's just for my kids. They are just having that lovely, happy moment, which I can't take away from them.
The best part is the restaurant has figured that out. They know that they are trying to bring the kids back. And because the kids come back, the parents will come back.
Believe me, yes. They're very smart. And I spoke to the owner. I told him, I said, really smart from you. And he was very happy. And I salute you for this, because, you know, to see people opening small restaurant and thinking like this, that means really they have a vision, which is really nice.
Ghislaine, I also want to ask you, we've talked about the top two mistakes that a restaurateur makes when they're opening a new restaurant. What would you think someone can do today if they're already running a restaurant? So they know the customer, everything is good, but a lot of restaurateurs today will say, well, I'm not doing enough business. Is it the same reason, or do you think there is something else that can help a restaurateur today?
If you're not getting the business, then there should be something that is not right. So you have to see it from somebody else's perspective. You look at it from a certain window. When you bring in somebody else in the business, but he's outside of the business, they will see it from another perspective. And that can help you to open your eyes in areas which you have not seen before. So bringing somebody from outside has nothing to do with your company, do a proper mystery survey. Of course, here the marketing, like today we are living in a social media world. Are you properly, you know, doing your social media? Are you properly doing the advertising to bring in the people? So have somebody to come and do a proper audit of the customer survey, but as well your back end. Maybe you are buying your product or you are buying the food at very high price. There will be always an indicator. So here's my suggestion, always bring somebody from outside who has nothing to do with your business. Because these are the people who will be able to sit and have a very neutral view to your business and give you their opinion. Because as business owner, we will always have closed the eyes on certain things. We know they are not right. We close the eyes. But to hear it from somebody else, nothing to do with your business, a big difference.
Absolutely agreed. And again, like you said, looking at it from a different perspective can change the equation. I think a lot of restaurant owners also, their secret in this market, they think the secret is shisha and alcohol. I speak to a lot of restaurant owners. They say, I'm not doing business today, but if I bring shisha and alcohol, I will do business. I don't necessarily think that's true, but I wanted to hear your opinion. Is shisha and alcohol the magic answer to everything, you think?
drink alcohol by itself, it's an entire headache to manage, to make sure that there are no, you know, it's much more complicated because the waste in alcohol is high and the loss in alcohol is very high. So what are the steps that you have done as a business owner to decide to bring in something like this that you think will bring in the business? What are the elements that have pushed you towards this? Is it your client? Is it just listening to others?
100%.
It's not the secret. It's not at all. I don't believe that this is the only way.
And I want to bring Table and Beyond back into this conversation in terms of when someone comes to help select, what are some of the key ingredients to success from a tableware, from a linen perspective, chinaware? What would you recommend as something that customers should keep in mind when they're shopping for these items?
You know, just try not to overdo things, to keep things simple, not too complicated as well. You go to a restaurant today and they bring you maybe 100 plates. You know, just make it relax, you know, for the team as well to serve, to make it simple. That's what I want to say. Don't make it too complicated. Don't try to overdo the thing because then it's becoming too much operational wise. Like sometimes restaurants for 50 seats, for example, they come with a very big list of equipment. And like the first thing I ask them, where is your storage? Do you guys have a storage for handling this? They don't. So, here it's narrowing down. Again, what's the importance? Simplicity, very much. Understanding your client, yes. And making things stay simple as much as possible. Because buying so much equipment is also not enough, is also not good depending on the operation. And yeah, so it's case to case basis. We sit with client and really go into depth about this point.
You know what you just talked about, 100 plates reminded me there are a few restaurants where we've gone to, my wife and I, and we see that they bring these fancy trucks and telephone booths to create a nicer experience. But I don't know if that is always the case. And like you said, maybe keeping it simple sometimes can be the trick. If, rather than investing so much money in all of that, just keep
exactly,
it simple.
Exactly. And today, for example, to have a tablet as menu, okay, for me as a customer, is it really required to have a tablet? Will cost me maybe 1/3 the price to have a simple menu well done. So all these touch points, we have to do some kind of auditing. This is how companies are doing better because they always audit themselves. They see what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong. And it's fine to do something wrong because at the end, everybody is learning and we all have to evolve depending on the client's needs. So here is constantly to have this within the like the auditing part from third party to come and check operation, check this, that will really help any business owner to make the right decision. And of course, to be there, Diren, as a business owner, be there to see that things really happen the way you want.
I like that, what you just said. It's okay to be wrong. I think a lot of restaurant owners put themselves under pressure to say, I have to open the best. It's not the best in the first shot. It becomes very risky for them to fix their mistakes because they put themselves under some sort of pressure. But like you said, It's okay to be wrong. I think that's so true.
Yeah. And today, you know, thankfully in UAE, we have really eased situation with the retail where people don't have this burden of rent, high rents. So it's true that before it was very stressful. As a business owner, you have bills to pay that are fixed and the fixed bills were very high. So it won't give you the peace to really focus on other things. That's the reason when you are working on your project P&L and starting up the business, you really have to put aside that 2 years or 1 year. Yeah, I would say 2 years. You're not going to make money just in the worst case scenario. And thankfully today, as I said, this has eased a bit because people don't have the burden of the rent. So they can focus somehow a bit more on other things.
100%. And I'm just going to summarize 5 secrets to the art of hospitality because I thought these are amazing. So someone who's listening, if they have not kept notes, the first one is know your target, know your niche. Mm-hmm. Number 2 is be there, be in the restaurant, be on the ground. Don't just delegate. And as they say, delegate, don't abdicate.
Yes.
The third one is give yourself time. Don't open in a rush. Don't put yourself under these pressure situations where I have to open, I get my staff last minute.
Yeah.
The other thing that you said, which was really something that I thought was important, was keep it simple.
Yeah.
And the last one that I want to pick up on and I want to highlight is it's okay to be wrong. Mm-hmm. Give yourself the room to fail gracefully.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you want to add anything else to that list?
No, I believe we have covered everything. Yes.
I want to also ask you, Ghislaine, now because you mentioned COVID earlier, I wanted to get your opinion on what the trend is today in terms of what is the future of hospitality, you think, in this market and generally?
You know, people cannot stay forever closed and sitting at home. Human being is basically needs this communication and the life, you know, the life. So it is a difficult time, which I believe it's going and it's passing. We are very thankful in UAE to have a really a great management of the pandemic that allow us today to go out wherever we want, whenever we want, enjoy going dining. Hotels are actually doing good. Restaurants are also doing good. So I don't feel that we are still in this, you know, issue of pandemic and we feel it. I mean, I'm talking about UAE. Of course, and some other markets are more touched than others, but I see in UAE, we are very blessed. Because people are still going out, they are not traveling, so they are spending more money. People, for example, are spending on their homes, refurbishment. So this is like...
all good indicators.
Yes, it's a good indicator. And I mean, personally, whenever I go out, I see restaurants are full. Now, I don't know exactly the percentage, who is doing right, which area. This is for sure, like they are like DTCM, most probably they have the proper figure. But what I see myself, whenever I go out, places are full. And if you remember the Eid holiday, most of hotels were packed. So let us look at everything in a positive way. This year is promising. We have a beautiful event that is getting organized for the expo and everyone is really ready to welcome the world. As we say, Dubai is ready to welcome the world. And I'm really excited and looking forward for this event personally.
I want to ask you, because you mentioned Expo and you mentioned offline as well when we were chatting before we started recording, that things are gearing up for Expo. I want to ask you, are there any tips that you can give to a restaurateur to prepare for Expo? What do you see people are doing and what do you think they should be focusing on?
I have realized actually that it's a lot to do, the emphasis for the Expo is a lot to do with the environment. Everything has to be eco-friendly. Terms of anything that's going to be within the exhibition has to be eco-friendly. There are a lot of catering companies. So as a business owner today, look at Expo as an opportunity and see how can I support them to make this event successful. Even though like pavilions, they won't have the full facility to cook and to welcome properly all the visitors without support from outside. So here it's fine. Pavilions and make the connection with the Expo management to find a way how to support, because I believe everyone needs to put a hand in there. It's such an important event for everyone living in companies with responsibility to make it happen. There are so many ecosystems around that's going to work in order to make it a successful event. And think about the number of delegation. Think about the number of tourists that they would come after almost 2 years of not traveling. People are going to be like really so thirsty for life and so thirsty to visiting new things. Because apart from the expo, people will stay outside and they will want also to visit UAE. We have a beautiful place. It's going to be the nice weather. People will, you know, want to do excursions, whether in the desert or so here, think about it as really an opportunity. What can I help? What can I add to this event to make it more successful?
I love it. I love that. That is a really nice way to look at it. Thank you for sharing. Keeping an eye on the time, we've been chatting for some time, Ghislaine. I want to ask you three questions. One, the last one before we move into entrepreneurship, the thing is delivery. I hear a lot of restaurant owners talk about delivery, paying money to Zomato, paying money to Talabat. I wanted to hear your thoughts as someone who services this industry more closely. What are your thoughts on delivery? Is it again the magic touch? I just want to hear your thoughts.
It's another revenue stream, of course. It's like you say today, you are opening a business and you cannot have a website. It's not possible. This is now part of, before restaurants were also doing delivery, but they were doing directly, which was creating an extra burden of a fixed cost to have somebody doing delivery. Now there is a company who've been smart to make this solution as a fee, which is fine because this is still bringing you a revenue stream. Not creating a problem for you as a restaurant, then why not? We have the luxury really today. You are sitting at home. You can order 45 different type of food. Tell me in which country you can do something like this. Like you would literally sit and think which kind of food do you want to try today? And then see all the lists of restaurants. It's an amazing thanks to this technology. And of course, here to sit with this platform, see how you can be in the first search. There's always a way to increase, you know, your return from this.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing that I wanted to mention on that, I remembered I had put out a podcast episode some time ago. And one of the things I mentioned is maybe learn to figure out how to leverage this aspect as a, not even just as a channel, but I know some of the restaurants, for example, they are now doing events at home. So the restaurant will come home, they will do an entire cook experience for you. I think these are the kinds of things that maybe some of the restaurant owners should even consider adding to their portfolio.
Of course, yes. Again, it's really going back to the square one, where we really think about our clients and talk to them and listen to what they need. So delivery is definitely a very important part. I'd all deny it. And no matter there is a fee, but it's fine. As far as it's bringing business to you, so what? You know?
You pay the fee. Why not?
Yeah, why not? Of course, this is a service. And this is a service for you to grow your market and grow your customers. And for you, it's no headache at the end, because you don't have to bring the driver. You don't have to bring all the employees, you know, to handle this part. It's really, I believe it's one of the most clever and good solutions that has happened for the restaurant and F&B business. That today at your home, you can, you know, order whatever you want without even thinking to call the restaurant. They are picking up, they're not picking up. You know, all this struggle that people had, today it's done thanks to this technology.
Absolutely. I always say technology is an enabler, not a cost. If you can consider technology to help you scale rather than looking at it as a cost, I think it changes the perspective. I want to ask you, because you're on the Elevated Entrepreneur podcast and you're an entrepreneur, what does it mean to you to be an elevated entrepreneur?
For me, it's sharing my experiences. I'm not shy and I don't have any issue to share my experiences, the good one and the bad one, with others. Because I believe by this, I will help somebody else perhaps make the right decision. And I am also always very open to hear what others are doing, because our life is a journey of learning. It's never ending. So there are some people, they believe that when you are a business owner, you are looking at one corner and you don't need to open your mind, increase the possibilities to meet other business owners, listen to those podcasts that can open your mind. We only see about 10% of our possibilities. So our mind has to, our mindset or our awareness has to come to a certain level that we have to understand that everything is possibility. Everything can be in our reach as far as we really believe in it from the inside. And that is thanks to talking to people, networking, meeting with the masterminds group, people who can really take you forward.
I want to ask you, since you mentioned learning, you mentioned books, is there a book that you recommend as an entrepreneur that everybody should read?
Actually, for me, 2020 was really a book year. I've read so much. But one of the books that I really liked was As Man Thinketh of James Allen.
Okay.
Really, the whole book was around explaining that every person actually holds the secret in his hand, really, to get what he wants. It's just a matter of perception. It's just a matter of inner belief. You are able to work on your thoughts, on your inner thoughts, then definitely you can change your life.
Absolutely, the mind.
This was like really a beautiful, really nice book.
The mind is a very powerful machine, and what you think and what you say internally can make a lot of difference outside.
Exactly. And this is not something that is an easy subject for a lot of people, because it has to do a lot with childhood, with sometimes kind of traumas that have not never been, you know, dealt with, and which then affect their life and the way how they are with others. So you see, the learning is a never ending story for me. And reading books, as I said, 2020 was really a year of books, talking with other business owners, listening to their successes and failures as well, because we can learn as well. And listening to your nice podcast always behind.
Thank you, Ghislaine. You're too kind. But I think the point here is make room for new perspectives, make room to listen with an open heart, open mind, without judging and or opinionating too quick. Keep in, you know, make some room in the cup to accept new things.
Exactly. Very important to have your own vision. Yes, this is where you want to be, for sure. But opening your mind to others and listening to what others are doing and what is their success stories and what's their failure really helps a lot to have the right people around you.
Absolutely. This is a separate conversation. I've done a full episode on masterminds, and because there is so much good that can come out of, you know, four brains better than one or six brains better than one. And I think there's, like you rightly said, there's a lot of power there. One last question before we wrap up, Ghislaine, where can people find you if they wanted to say hello, and how can they find you online and offline?
Online, of course, through social media. I mean, they can go to my LinkedIn, Ghislaine Benzaku, and they are most welcome to visit my office and showroom in Udmeta. So we will definitely put all the links in our podcast.
Absolutely. In our show notes, they will find all of this information.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you. Thanks to you, Dihan, for having me. And I hope that the listeners had a good time, like we had together talking about this beautiful topic, and looking for other topics to do again together.
I think we could write a book here on the art of hospitality. We've got the 6 best secrets, which I think is a phenomenal thing to have.
You're right. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for staying with me till the very end of the episode. You've done it. I've got 3 specific asks for you, only if you think that this podcast is worthy of your support and if you've enjoyed the content. My first request is for you to hit the subscribe button. Actually, smash that subscribe button so that you can get notified when new episodes come your way. Or if you haven't already, head on over to elevatedentrepreneur.fm and subscribe to the podcast on the website so that new episodes are emailed to you right away. My second request is for you to help me spread the word with your friends and families and business owners that would enjoy this podcast and help elevate them too. You can do that either by leaving a review on your Apple device or just telling your friends how cool this podcast is. And finally, if there's a question that you've been dying to ask me, or if there's pieces of feedback that you'd like to give me, head on over to elevatedentrepreneur.fm/speak, where you'll be able to record a voice message that I can listen to and also maybe feature here on the podcast together with my answer. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you, much love, and I'll see you in the next one.